Welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. It's not just for contracting officers. If you work anywhere in the government acquisition world, this podcast is for you. Today's topic is pre versus post-award debriefs. This episode is brought to you by North Strat Incorporated. Do you have experience as a contracting officer for an intelligence community agency like the National Reconnaissance Office? Do you have experience as a contracts manager for a government contractor, including proposal development and pricing strategies? North Strat is looking for you. North Strat Incorporated is a small, agile, and growing government contractor headquartered in Dulles, Virginia. North Strat is looking for an experienced contracts manager to help shape the future of the company. You will establish, organize, and manage the corporate contracting office while ensuring FAR and DFAR's compliance. North Strat offers outstanding benefits, employee stock ownership, and many other great perks. North Strat has a small company culture and takes a personal interest in every employee. If you or a friend would like to be part of a dynamic, growing company where you will directly affect the success of the organization, email your resume to recruiting@northstrat.com. That's NORTHSTRAT.com. North Strat is an equal opportunity employer. You must be a U.S. citizen and able to obtain and maintain a security clearance. Okay, let's get started with pre versus post-award debriefs. Okay, Kevin, today we're going to talk about debriefings again, but if I sound a little different than usual, I am in what turns out to be chilly Austin, Texas, in the hotel, and it's kind of early, so I'm trying not to talk too loudly so as to not disturb the hotel neighbors, because I have learned that the walls are thin here.
Yeah, you don't want to be the crazy guy doing his podcast in a hotel room, although we've actually done that a lot, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my sound is a bit off because I'm mid-construction on a big play system in the backyard for my kids, and so I got tools all over the floor, and so we may sound different today.
Watch your toes. Okay, now on to what people might actually care about. Let's talk about debriefs. Today, really, the difference between pre-award and post-award debriefings. How many pre-award debriefings have you done? They're not that common. I don't really remember doing that many of them.
You're right. Pre-awards aren't as popular. I've done a few, and usually the debriefee, if that's a word, they were annoyed by how little info they got. I mean, looking back, I suppose I should have asked them if they knew the difference between the pre-award and post-award debriefing before I scheduled the actual meeting. But, you know, the things you don't know that you don't know, right? I assumed everybody was reading the FAR. You know, this is what people knew, right? And no, they don't. Yeah. So
I see a lot of people use the FAR as a monitor stand to get their monitor a little more ergonomically correct, a little higher.
I've thought of that.
Before we get into it, let's stop and say thanks.
Let's say thanks to Jody, and I apologize if I butcher this. It's Mahoon, or it's Moon, and the H is silent. Anyway, she's a contracts manager at Acima, and you know, she likes and shares our content on LinkedIn. And the best way for people to find us is for people sharing our content on LinkedIn and elsewhere. So thanks, Jody, for sharing our stuff.
Thanks, Jody. I'll start with a quick refresher on what is a debrief. And I'm not going to say too much because there are multiple podcasts on debriefs. Some of our earliest podcasts, we really got into super deep details on debriefings.
And FAR Part 2 doesn't actually have a definition of a pre-award or post-award debriefing.
Yeah, that shows up in FAR 15, which we'll go over in a minute. But as a reminder, a debriefing is when the government explains within a strict rule set why you won or lost a competition. The limits and rules surrounding it can be complicated. Some are really easy, like don't share proprietary information. You're not going to learn your competitor's proprietary solution. Some of the rules are more judgment calls.
Yeah, like answering reasonable questions.
Yeah, what is reasonable is a big issue.
Yeah, for more details on the overall concept of debriefing, just look in our feed for the word debriefing, and there are several of them.
All right, the difference between pre-award and post-award. Pre-award happens when the source selection is underway and the government has made a competitive range determination. If you don't know what that is, we don't have time to go into that here either. But fortunately, there's a podcast on it. So this is during the source selection. The government has decided to neck it down and say, some of these people we're not going to evaluate any farther and some we are. And if you're one of the ones they're not going to evaluate any farther, they remove you from the competitive range. And at that point, you're entitled to a pre-award debriefing. Or you can wait until they're done with their whole source selection and they've selected a winner and they tell you, hey, this person won, and you could do a debriefing then, which could be months after the initial notification that you're out of the competitive range. Like you said, debriefing is not in the definition section of the FAR, but it does show up in FAR 15, and specifically FAR 15-505 is pre-award debriefing of the offers. And it says offers excluded from the competitive range or otherwise excluded from the competition before award may request a debriefing before award. And that's what we just talked about.
If you are excluded from the competitive range and you have 3 days to ask for a debriefing, and you have to ask for them in writing, it's 3 days after receipt of the notice that you were excluded. So 3 days after you find out, within that time, you have to ask for your debriefing.
And if you don't, you may not get any information at all about why you lost.
Yeah, the FAR Act, using the FAR time rule here, says if the offer does not submit a timely request, that's the 3 days, the offer need not be given either a pre-award or post-award debriefing. So in other words, you got to say something 3 days after you find out that you're out.
There's differences between the types of information that you receive in a pre-award debriefing versus a post-award debriefing. In a pre-award, at a minimum, the government has to tell you how they evaluated the significant elements of your proposal. And that's one of those judgment calls. What is significant? They might not tell you a whole lot at that point. They have to give you a summary of their rationale for eliminating you from the competitive range. And they have to give reasonable responses to relevant questions about whether or not they followed the rules that they laid out.
That's it.
Yeah. And it specifically tells the government what they shall not tell you at this point.
The number of offers, the identity of those offers, the content of the other offers' proposals, in other words, the stuff you really want to know,
yeah.
The ranking of the offers, and the evaluation of other offers. So it's just you versus the requirement, you versus the RFP. That's all they're going to tell you. So they can tell you.
Right, even if they want to. So let's talk about post-award debriefings. 15506 describes post-award, and this is the same. You're notified that somebody else won. You have 3 days to ask for your debrief. And if you don't, you may not get any information at all. The difference here is the types of information you'll receive in the post-award debrief. First, you're going to get the government's evaluation of the significant weaknesses or deficiencies in your proposal. So that's different than before. In pre-award, it said their evaluation of significant elements. Here, they're probably going to go a little bit deeper and tell you more about really why you lost. They're also going to tell you the overall evaluated cost or price and technical ratings of the winner and you so that you can compare, hey, how close were we to the winner?
And the key difference here is the pre-award was what you submitted versus the RFP. Now it's what you submitted versus the winner.
And the RFP, yeah.
And the RFP.
Yeah,
that's a huge difference.
Yeah, much, much more useful. They're also going to give you information about how your past performance was evaluated. Another useful tidbit they will give you is the overall ranking of the offers if they used a ranking structure. So you can find out, hey, we were fifth out of five, right? We're not going to be able to, no matter what we did, we weren't going to be able to win it in the end.
And on top of all that, you get a summary of the rationale for award. Now, that is a thinking description right there. Yeah. What it says is rationale for award. So, I mean, that's going to be an explanation.
And as we talked about before, if you are the loser, you should ask for a redacted copy of the source selection decision document, which is that rationale for award. So they'll give you a summary during the post-award debrief, but you may be able to get all of the details about your evaluation if you ask for a redacted copy of the source selection decision document. And I think there's a podcast on that too.
There is.
One more thing. If they are buying commercial items, they'll tell you the make and model of what they decided to buy.
And we still have the reasonable responses to relevant questions.
Right.
Paragraph.
Right.
But what's not included is trade secrets, privileged or confidential manufacturing processes and techniques, and then financial information. And here's a big one. The names of individuals providing reference information about an offer's past performance.
Yeah, they're not going to tell you who busted you on your past performance.
Exactly.
Right. They don't want to create any stalkers here.
Yeah, they cannot tell you that.
Let's talk time zones. If it isn't already obvious, we're in the source selection zone. So this is the fourth of the acquisition time zones right before we move on to the execution time zones.
And if you're new to the podcast, episode 3 talks about all this, the acquisition time zones, and episode 84 talks about the execution time zones.
Wow. We've been talking a lot about, there's a podcast for that. There's a lot of podcasts now. All right, let's get on to why this is so important. Debriefings are an ideal opportunity to communicate between industry and the government. But the amount of communication available is different depending on what type of debriefing you decide to select.
Most of the time, the post-award is going to be better. It's going to give you more information. There's more open communication. And it's going to be more useful for the next time you have to compete. But it's a missed opportunity if you don't know when or how to ask for it and what the difference between the two is. I was helping a client with a debriefing. They lost on price. And during the prep, we had all the pieces of the FAR lined up, knew exactly what questions to ask, what order to ask them in. And they were able to get key information because they showed the government CO that they took the time to prep for this. And not only did they make the relationship with that CO better, but they also got key information that they were looking for that helped them strategically know, number one, we're not going to ever win this one. And number two, now we're better positioned for next time it's competed.
So they didn't just walk into the debrief, ask for all kinds of information that the FAR says the government can't tell them at this point, and then get all frustrated that the government's being mean and won't share their decisions. There's a conspiracy here.
Exactly. Right? That's how that cycle starts. And knowing the difference between what you can get in pre-award versus post-award, when you ask for either of them, and how to execute that debriefing is a huge piece of that.
This is a great segue to why the government cares. If the loser doesn't know the difference between the pre-award debrief and the post-award debrief and the types of information that are available, and if they don't know overall what a debrief is for and what can be shared, they're going to be frustrated. They're already mad that they lost, and this will add to it. So this is a case where communication and education can make it easier for both sides.
Yeah, sometimes the idea to protest can be born in the pre-award debriefing because they're frustrated. I mean, what's that concept that misaligned expectations leads to frustration?
Yeah.
Right? So if you're aligning expectations by telling them, here's what's in the pre-award, this is what you asked for, you know this is all you're going to get. And that's something I wish I had done more of.
Yeah, most notification letters that say you've been removed from the competitive range say, you know, per 15.505, you're entitled to a pre-award debriefing. And that's it. Or they say, entitled to a pre-award debriefing, you must request it within 3 days. If the letter actually went that one step farther, like you just said, and explained, here's what we will tell you in a pre-award debriefing. If you wait until the end, here's what you'll get in the post-award debriefing. That'd be great communication. So especially government folks, if you're dealing with a lot of small businesses or new entrants into the government market, you may want to take that one extra step and cut and paste a little more from the FAR and save yourself some trouble.
Yeah, I was running a source selection, and it was for engineering services contract, and a company was eliminated from the competitive range. And then I sent them the letter. I said, you know, you've been eliminated, ask for a debriefing. And then they asked for their debriefing after we awarded the contract. So kind of outside of their 3 days, right? It was like 2 months later. And according to 15506A4I, an untimely debriefing may be accommodated, which means the contracting officer can make the decisions, okay, you're late. However, under the rule of let me see if I can make the world better, and I can also make my life less miserable because you're less likely to protest, I can actually give you a debriefing even though it was untimely. What I did was I just had a 20-minute conversation with them on the phone.
So they weren't actually eligible to protest anymore because they missed the window to protest. They didn't ask within 3 days of being told they were out of the competitive range. But you had some mercy on an innocent mistake. And like you said, trying to make the world better, you took the time to give them a little bit of information on why they lost and how they could do better next time, right? If you did the source selection and you documented why you removed them from the competitive range, you probably had a few bullets that explained why they lost already. So a matter of walking through them with them, you build some goodwill. I think that's always the right decision, unless you have 100 offers that were removed from the competitive range and you can't possibly accommodate all that just from a time perspective.
And from a selfish perspective, I was just trying to get them not to protest. So right. And they didn't, so it worked out.
Right. On the industry side, the reason it's important for industry to understand the difference is you don't get the same amount of information. We've already walked through this. But it comes down to a strategic decision. Why would you choose a pre-award debriefing? The only reason I can think of is if you strongly believe or and have evidence that the government didn't follow their written source selection procedures. Because at this point, if you can prove that they didn't, you might get back in the competitive range.
And that's a key point. So the only reason you would get a pre-award is if you think they messed something up and you want to get back in the competitive range. And let me footstomp what you just said. The way to really do that, the only way to really do that, is to convince them to let you back in. The only way they're probably going to do that is via a protest. So this is a can of worms.
but think about it. If they toss you out of the competitive range, that probably means they have multiple offers that are more highly rated than you.
Right.
So unless it's an egregious foul, you're probably not going to win anyway. It's a tough decision, but you should never protest out of anger, right? This is again why the government should educate industry as much as possible on why they lost or why they removed them from the competitive range, so they don't protest just to learn why, to understand better. Okay, so that's why you might consider a pre-award debriefing. All the good stuff really comes with a post-award debriefing. We talked about all these reasons, especially in the Why Debriefings Matter episode. You will get more information on your proposal. You'll get important information about the winner's proposal, which, hey, they won. How can I win? Maybe follow their lead, right? Learn how they won, and you can be better next time. The most important part to me is in a debriefing, many, many times when the debriefing's over, you can say, okay, we're done. The debriefing is officially closed. Look the contracting officer in the eye and say, we are not going to protest. Can we have a conversation? And at that point, everyone can take a deep breath. We're not going to protest. This isn't going to be a problem. And have a human-to-human conversation where they might actually tell you a whole lot more than you got out of the debriefing. In English, not in source selection language, but really tell you, look, here's why you didn't win.
And that deep breath that you took there at the end of this is at the end of the competition. Like, you've already picked somebody, right? We're afraid, as a CEO, I'm afraid you're going to protest and drag out our source selection process longer. That feeling is amplified during the pre-award, because if somebody protests during the pre-award, now you're throwing basically a monkey wrench in the middle of the source selection.
Yeah.
At the end, it's going to take even longer. So they're touchy during the post-award debriefing, but I remember being really touchy during the pre-award.
Right.
For that reason, is that if you protest now, it's like everything's going to be a train wreck.
Once you tell them we're not going to protest, it takes a lot of weight off their shoulders, like you're saying. And that's where, if you have a relationship with them, you have to have a relationship. You can't be a stranger. But if you have a relationship with them, you may get the details that really help you do better next time. And you're like, wow, I never really knew that before. But you wouldn't learn that until you get to the more casual side, right? Till the afterwards. All right, I think that's a good overview of the difference between pre- and post-award debriefings.
And knowing what you're being asked for and knowing what you're asking for is key there. The other point for me is knowing that you have to ask for the debriefing, even if it's a pre-award. Even if you've been eliminated from the competitive range, you got 3 days. And you can ask for the post-award debriefing at that time, which you got to ask earlier.
Otherwise, you end up being untimely, right? If you get notified that you've been removed from the competitive range, they say, would you like a debrief? And at that point, pre or post. And we almost without fail say, we would like a post-award debriefing when you get done. And then, you know, months and months later, they may say, hey, we're scheduling a post-award debriefing. And you're like, for what? Wait, I don't remember what that is anymore. I just like to emphasize the difference in the value proposition between pre- and post-award. Pre-award doesn't get you too much information, but it may be enough. It may not matter. You may not even want to wait a couple months to get more in-depth. You may just want to move on with life, right? You should always ask for a debriefing. Always ask for a debriefing, because you're going to learn how to get better at this game. And you're going to build relationships with your customers. So always ask for the debriefing, but understand the limits on the information you'll receive between pre-award and post-award.
You know, you raise a good point, not to create a new idea here at the end, but we talked about the reason to pre-award. And to your point, if the letter says the reason you've been eliminated from competitive range is because you clearly did not meet the requirement of X, Y, and Z in the RFP, And what they're telling you, it is you versus the RFP.
Yeah.
Versus you versus everybody else. So in that case, and if you think it's going to be 6 months later, you get the debriefing, and by then you may be, you know, on to different things. It may make sense to say, okay, I screwed up the RFP. Let's find out why. And then
not I screwed up the RFP. I screwed up the proposal versus the RFP, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's find out why and then move on with life.
Yes.
All right. That's enough new ideas for today. That's all my brain can take. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you, Paul.
That's it for this episode of the Contracting Officer Podcast. As always, if you have questions, comments, or complaints, send me an email at paul@contractingofficerpodcast.com. Thanks for joining us.